You got the camera on? I don't see it. I don't see the light on. You know how the light usually goes to the one? Welcome and happy Mother's Day. I wish all the mothers, including the fathers, could be here with us today. And we've got a little bit. I've got to say, I'm pleasantly surprised. I was really surprised when I walked in here today. As most of you know, this is pre-recorded to go out on a Sunday morning. So Ryan Pettit and myself are here at the church tonight. It's actually Wednesday night. We're doing the recording, and I have to say a huge thank you to Renee Fadley, April Judd, Ryan, everybody that's involved with putting the pictures on the pews. I'm going to ask Ryan really quick if he'll do me a favor and he'll flip the camera around. I want to show y'all something really quick. So they've been working on this for quite some time, and we're able to come in and put people's pictures all throughout the pews. And you know what's really, I love this. It's exciting. I came in, I've told a few different people, it's hard. It is extremely hard to preach to an empty church. It's actually, I'm more nervous preaching with no one here. It doesn't make sense. I can't explain it, but it's more nerve-wracking when you're not here. When I saw all these pictures, I was extremely excited. But I need you to focus in on one picture. Ryan, flip that around again one time. Let me walk back here. Second row now. This is the second row. Bonnie and J.B. Marston, right? They're usually on the last row. Well, today and from now on until everybody returns, they on the second row. The second row from the front. Y'all look good up here. Thank y'all so much for everything you do. Thank you so much for doing this. This put a huge smile on my face. But let's jump back to what today is all about. Today is all about moms. It's all about Mother's Day. Moms, today is your day. Now, I hope all the mothers are going to have a wonderful day. I hope that the family is going to shower you with gifts. And I hope that all the fathers are going to make a wonderful dinner, one that's not burnt. A beautiful dinner for you this evening. And I know that you're not all sitting here, but I can feel all the fathers really giving me dirty looks right now. Listen, there is no other job in the world that is as heartbreaking and as rewarding at the same time as motherhood. And no other job, hear me out, no other job will have the influence on the impact of the world as parenting does. 90%. I just read this past week. 90% of teenagers, when asked, who influences you the most? Still to this day, they still say that their parents influence them the most. Thank you, Lord. I truly believe that with all my heart that parents are the most important roles in all earth. And mothers, you are key to that equation. George Washington, our very first president, said this about his mother. All I am, all I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in this life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education that I received from her. Our 16th president, Abraham Lincoln, said, I remember my mother's prayers and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. All that I am, all that I hope to be, all I am, all that I hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. Our 25th president, William McKinley, said this. He said, "By the blessings of heaven, I mean to live, die, and in all things please God in the faith of my mother." The great preacher Charles Spurgeon once said, "I cannot begin to tell how much I owe to the solemn word of my good mother. All the books of the world could not contain her godly influence upon me." And John Calvin, he said this, "The noblest calling in the world is that of a mother. She who rears a family of God-fearing sons and daughters whose immortal souls will be exerting influence throughout the ages, long after paintings have faded and books have worn thin, deserves the highest honor that men can give." Being today is Mother's Day, I want to talk about mothers and the importance of not just mothers, but parents. And I've titled today's message, "A Mom's Calling." Let's open with a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the mothers that are sitting out there, that are listening, that are watching, but also the mothers that have passed on, the mothers that have really shaped our lives. Lord, I thank you for my mother. I thank you for the importance of what she means to me. And I honestly can say I don't think I would be where I am today without her. I thank you for that, Lord. Lord, I ask you and the Holy Spirit to guide this service, to impact our lives where we're at today. Be with us, guide us, protect us, direct us, and give us the wisdom we need. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, studies show that the majority of a child's younger years are impacted mostly by the mother. Now, that statistic's not taken away from what the father brings to the equation. It's just that the child spends the majority of their time in their first few years with the mother. And over the last decade, we've heard a lot of calls for men in this country to return to being fathers. But I want to make sure we all understand the need for mothers to be mothers as well. Motherhood is a great responsibility. There's nothing more important to the future of the family. There's nothing more important to the future of the church. And there's nothing more important to the future of this country than godly parents doing what God has called them to do. Think about it. Satan hates parents. Satan hates a mother, really, because he realizes and he knows the impact that they have on the family. And God loves parents. God loves a mom. He endows them with blessings and faith and strength that can only come from God. Amen? And it's very important in our scriptures today. If you've got your Bibles with you, do me a favor. Turn to Exodus 2, 1 through 11. Exodus 2, 1 through 11. Second book in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus. Exodus 2, 1 through 11. "Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. And then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and she saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. 'This is one of the Hebrew babies,' she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?' "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said this to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew one of his own people. Now, if I told you this morning that I was going to talk about motherhood, and that I was going to use a great biblical example of a mother, Moses probably wouldn't have been one of the ones that come to your mind. Right? Moses' mother is probably not one that would come to your mind. You would have definitely thought about Mary, Jesus' mom. You would have thought about maybe Rebecca. You would have thought about Samuel's mother, Hannah. But Moses' mother wouldn't have been the first one that popped into your minds. But I want to show you how greatly Moses' mother modeled motherhood. She is a great example for us today on Mother's Day. I want to get started this morning by giving you a little bit of background leading up to this scripture. You see, the people of Israel, the Hebrews, they've been in Egypt for a long time. They've been there, they've been multiplying, they've been growing in number. And as they did that, Pharaoh, he took notice. He began to get a little nervous. He was afraid that they would become too powerful. He started to see them as a threat. So what did he do? He enslaved them. He put them into bondage. But they're still having babies, right? They're still growing in numbers. So he came up with an idea. He came up with a plan. He gave an order, or an edict, that every boy that was born to the Hebrews was to be killed. And so, when Moses' mother became pregnant and then had Moses, she hid him for 3 months. And that comes from our verse 2 right there. Now, there's something that's very interesting in our text up until this point. If you read just that verses 1 and 2, something very, very interesting. We learn about Moses being hidden for 3 months, and that his mother was doing all this. But here's the interesting thing in all this. It doesn't say one thing about Moses' dad doing this. This was his mom. Now, I don't know why Moses' dad wasn't involved in any of this. There's no mention of him in the Bible. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Moses' father, but it's not mentioned. We don't know, excuse me, we don't know anything about it. And then in verse 3, when she could hide him no longer, she made a basket and she put him in this basket and she floated him down the river. Have you ever read this scripture and thought, why a basket, right? Why put him in the river? Why in the world would she do such a thing? And I remember when I was younger, and I would hear this Bible story. Man, I really got hung up on this. Because I kept thinking, why a river? Why put him in a basket? Why put him in the river? Right? This is the Nile River. There's crocodiles in the Nile River. Out of all the different plans that she could have put together, I mean, she could have fled the country, right? She could have done a lot of different... Why put him in the river? And here's what I've come to realize. Moses' mother was Hebrew, right? From the day that she was born, she had been taught about how God saved Noah in an ark. So what does she do? She builds a small ark. And she trusts God to save her son. Now, it's also interesting to me that we don't even know Moses' mother's name until we get to Exodus chapter 6, right? I just read you from chapter 2. We don't know Moses' mother's name until four more chapters later. Her name is Jochebed. And she's only mentioned by name twice in the Bible. I think this is God's way of saying to us that motherhood, you know, it's not a high-profile occupation where your face is always plastered on TV or Facebook, right? Your day's not filled with signing autographs. You don't get your own clothing line. But don't let that cause you to think it's not an important role. You know, society has a way of promoting the non-important people and diminishing the most important people. Think about it. What's more important in our society right now? Nurses or movie stars? Right? Nurses. But out of those two, who gets paid the most? Who is always being asked for their opinion on such things as life and social importance? Who's more important, the soldier or the professional athlete? But who makes more money? Who do we always see on the news? Or the one that ends up being the role model? You know, moms, don't let your lack of celebrity status ever lead you to believe that motherhood isn't important. Nothing in this world today is more important than the role of shaping the next generation. And moms, you have more impact on this than anybody else. Jumping back to our story. Jochebed, she builds an ark for her son. She puts him in it, and then she trusts God to save her son. Mom, sometimes things are going to come up, and you're not going to know how to handle it. And you've got to trust God. Things are going to come up that are completely out of your control. And so you've got to do the best you can with what you've got, when you've got. But ultimately, you have got to trust God. You know, I recently read a survey of mothers. In the survey, it said that something like 73% of all mothers feel totally unequipped and inadequate. That's true. I mean, it's true for moms and dads. None of us have a perfect contingency plan for every single issue that's going to come up in our lives. And if we do think we have that, if we think that we've got the perfect contingency plan, you know what? That's when something happens and it blows our mind. And we can't figure out how to react, how to respond. We have to learn to be thankful in these situations. Why? Because they force us to trust God more. They force us to stop thinking that we are the masters of our own domain. These situations drive us to our knees, which is exactly where we need to be. So let this story of Moses and his mother, let this story encourage you this morning. You might be going through something. Your family might be facing a crisis. But God is bigger than the crisis. No matter what that crisis is, no matter how big this pandemic is or can get, God is bigger. Think back on our scripture reading this morning. Pharaoh's plan was to kill Moses, right? Kill all the Hebrew sons. But God had a bigger plan than Pharaoh did. And Jochebed, she had no way of knowing what God was going to do. She didn't know God's plan, but she trusted God. She knew Him. She trusted Him. She trusted His plan, even though she didn't know it. If you take a look at verse 4 through 10, we see God's plan in action. Look at this. Pharaoh wanted to kill Moses. We established that, right? And God ends up having Moses raised in Pharaoh's own house, right under his own nose. And not only that, God had Moses' own mother nurse him. And it doesn't stop there. It gets even better. Not only did God plan for Moses' own mother to nurse him, but she gets paid to do it. You and I could not have planned something so perfect. We could have known all the details, right? We could have planned for months and months and months and still not come up with a plan this perfect. Isn't that amazing? It just shows you how God works. It just shows you that when you don't know which way to turn, what decision to make, if you trust God and His perfect plan, He will amaze you. You know, we didn't know how long this went on with Moses and his mother, how long Jochebed had with her son. But verse 11 tells us something very important. It tells us that when Moses was grown, he went out and he looked upon his people. Now Moses was Hebrew, okay? But he was raised as an Egyptian. So how did he know the Hebrews were his people? Turn with me to Acts 7, 20 through 23. I'm going to go from the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament. Acts 7, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts 7, 20 through 23. Let me read this to you. At the time Moses was born, and he was no ordinary child, for 3 months he was cared for by his family. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and in action. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. You know, the Bible never specifically tells us how Moses learned that he was an Israelite, or when he learned that he was an Israelite. But it does give us some pretty good clues as to how that happened. I mean, just think about it. When he was 3 months old, he was taken in by Pharaoh's daughter. Okay? Now, Jewish history and faith in God, that wasn't taught in Egypt. It wasn't taught in Pharaoh's house. But his mother, Moses' mother, was called to nurse him. See the irony in this? And at the age of 40, he sides with his people, the Israelites. Hebrews 11, 24 through 25 says this, "By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin." Faith comes by hearing, does it not? So how did Moses know that he was a Hebrew? How did he know he was one of God's chosen children? How did he hear in order to have the faith to do these amazing things that he ended up doing? Well, let me tell you how. His mother, that's how. Moses' mother taught him what was right from wrong, and when he got older, he followed her instructions. Sounds very similar, don't it? Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he was old, he will not depart from it." Remember that? As parents, none of us know how long that we're going to have with our children. Now, I don't want that to sound morbid, but it's true. It seems like yesterday that my son, Austin, was in diapers. Well, Austin's now getting ready to turn 14 years old. I went from being a father of a newborn to a father of a young man in what seems like just a few months. It's been 14 years, and he's getting ready to start driving here in 2 years. And as much as I would love to turn back the hands of time, as much as I would love to slow down time, I can't. None of us can. Take advantage of the time that you've got with your children. Teach them. Moses' mom obviously knew how to make time count. Like I said, we don't know how long exactly she had with her son. She understood that. And she used that time very, very well. You know, as we come to a close, moms as well as dads, teach your children every chance you get. Make the time to instill godly character to your children. Don't wait or depend on Sunday school teacher to do it. Don't wait or depend on the church to do it. God's given you, the parent, mom, dad, God's given you the responsibility of teaching your children. And we should be doing that every single day. There's coming a day when your children, they're going to hear ideas. They're going to hear perspectives, ideology, outside of what you have taught them. They're going to be influenced with ideas that's going to conflict with your teaching. And they're going to need to know what their foundation is, who their foundation is. Teach them now. Teach them right from wrong, good from bad. Teach them how to make decisions that will honor and glorify God. They're your very own little disciples, and you are their mentors. So teach them about God. Teach them about His Son. Teach them about the sacrifice that He made for them. And teach them not just by words, but by living out your faith so they can see it. You have a testimony, and it starts with your house. It starts at home. Your children pay close attention to you. I found that out early on when I first became a father. Your children pay close attention to everything you do. Everything you say. So make sure you're teaching them. And not just with your words, but also with your actions. Teaching your children. Mentoring your children. Your grandchildren. Listen to me. It's part of your ministry. It's part of your calling. And it's one of the greatest gifts in the world. Mothers, on this Mother's Day, you have a calling. God's got a calling on your life. And don't ever let anybody tell you any different. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a father, for allowing me to be a parent. I pray for our children. I pray for our mothers. I pray for our fathers. Lord, help them, guide them, direct them. Help them be the parent, not that they want to be, but help them be the parent that you need them to be. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. And all mothers, have a great day.